Does anybody remember our greeting from last year?
No.
Aramaic greeting? Nobody? Okay. Who?
Yes.
No. What was their greeting?
We talked about
No, greeting.
All the
greetings. Yeah, one word. All together. Marhaba. Great. Okay. Thank you so much, Pastor Ken. Thank you so much, elders and congregation, for your inviting us. So Nahida and I, as you know, are still ministering Arabic speakers. And last year, God opened the door to share widely our heart with Muslims who came from different countries from the Middle East. So Nahid and I, we try to disciple some youth like you, and we thank God for this church. I heard the good news from Pastor Ken about youth and the movement of gospel here in Westlock. So today, I'd like to share with you three parts. It's not as usual. So today, when Pastor Ken phoned me and he said, what's going on in Syria? I know most of you follow the news about what happened in our home country this month. Has anyone heard about the news? Who came from Syria? Okay. I think you heard about many, many massacres that happened in Syria. So today, I would like to share with you about Syria. Syria, biblically. Syria, historically. Then, I will share with you about the faith of women from Syria. And then I will share a little bit about our ministry. So first I would like to pray for Syria. And I know this is your heart as well. Please, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you with grateful hearts, thanking you for the blessing and love we have received in this place, this church. We thank you, Father. We pray that you continue to bless the congregation, elders, and every member who serve with a willing heart. May this church, your house of worship, remain a beacon of light, love, and hope to all who enter. Lord, I pray with heavy heart, grieving for the innocent lives lost during the massacres that happened this month in Syria. More than 60 massacres that have claimed the lives of hundreds of Alawites and Christians up until this moment are due to racism and hatred by Muslim extremists and the suffering endured by the people of Syria. Lord, we cry out of your mercy for an end to the bloodshed and for comfort for those who mourn. Bring healing to the wounded, strength to the weary, and hope to those who feel abandoned. Protect the innocent. Protect your people, your church in Syria. And let your Lord, we ask for wisdom, for world leaders, and those in position of power. May they work toward justice, peace, and forgiveness. We trust in your promise that one day you will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or pain. Until the day, Lord, give your people faith to believe, strength to endure, and love to share. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, I'd like quickly to share with you about Syria. Syria from historical aspect. So here, okay, first, here my family. So, sorry. As you know, this Tony, my son, our son, and our daughter, Angel, her husband, Majd, and we have grandchildren, Lucas, 4 years, and Emmanuel, 6 years. Turn on, sorry. Okay. Okay. What is the problem here? Sorry. Okay, thank you. So here, the map of Syria, as you know, Syria is surrounded by 4 countries, Turkey, Lebanon, Israel, Iraq, Jordan. So from 4 directions. So Syria, 6,000 years historically and biblically. Next. Here, Ugarit. Ugarit was the oldest alphabet in the world, 2400 BC. So here, Ugarit, if you can see, it's located on Mediterranean Sea. So same area where people were killed from Alawite. Okay? So, next. Here, Mary, kingdom. Mary, it's a woman name. So, this, it was inhabited for long time, maybe around 1,000 years. And lot of civilization walked or went on this land. Next, please. Here, after 106 AD, it's after Jesus. So, Busra, this theater in Syria, if you go there, without any mic, without any technology, you can hear any speaker who starts from this point. So, really, Syria culture. Syria, it's not Syria today. When Islam invaded Syria 1400 years ago, they changed all the culture. They changed the church to be a mosque or something. They changed any sign of culture. So we hope one day churches and us to go there and to see our culture. Next. Here, the castle, this one, was built 1142 AD. This castle, our house in Syria, it's just against or opposite of this castle. So it's big, huge castle. And every morning, Nahida and I, when we were there in balcony, we look at this castle. And we remember a Greek or Roman who built this castle. Right now, you can go there and you will see the culture. And many details you can see inside this castle. But unfortunately, rebellion, when the war started in Syria, rebellion took this castle and started to attack Christian villages. So, and many people from Christian were killed. Next, please. Okay. Here, Syria biblically. 300 times Syria or Aram was mentioned. Damascus, 67 times in Old Testament. Genesis, many references. We don't have time to share with you. But if you like, you can have look about these witnesses or references from the Bible. So why I try to mention about this, just to see how the Holy Spirit mentioned about Syria at this time. Because if you remember, Syria or Syriac people from the Old Testament and until the Islam invade our country, they were scientists. They got a high education. So our grandfather or grandmother translate all the civilization from a Greek language to Arabic language. There was a big mission. But unfortunately, most of them were killed. Were killed after they did this translation. Next, please. Okay. Syria in New Testament. Luke, Matthew, Mark, many references. And today I would like to share about this passage from Matthew 15. Next, please. Today, I'd like to share with you about women that Jesus has tested and praised her faith. And today, my message, first of all, to me, and to you, each one of you, to ask you what kind of your faith. If your faith like this woman, hallelujah. But if your faith is less, maybe we have to do something. So please open the scripture if you have, or iPad, or just to share this passage from Matthew 15, starting from verse 21 to 28. Matthew 15, 21, 28. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at the moment. Amen. The story of this woman, we can say in our country about this nationality, Syro-Phoenician. Syro came from Syriac, Phoenician from Phoenicia. So we have two culture, civilization. So this woman, she came from Syria. It was part of Syria. And I don't know how this woman heard about Jesus. And she believed that when she came to Jesus, he will respond to her request. So we have something here, like four keys to share with you today about this woman. The first, a mother's love seeks Jesus. The woman came to Jesus because her daughter was suffering from demonic oppression. Despite being a Gentile, she recognized that only Jesus could provide true healing. This teaches us something very important. A loving parent seeks the best for their children, especially spiritual well-being. Listen to me, please. How much as parents need to care about the spiritual life of our children? I know families, and we ask God not to do that with you. The father is pastor, and the mother same or something, then suddenly their children came to change their gender. So please, please listen to me. Spend time. Don't say all time, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy. You will stand one day before Jesus. You will ask you about, have you spent enough time with your children? Have you implanted in their hearts the fear of God? Or just, what do you want my child? Go, take money, something like that. Please be careful, because this is our responsibility. Jesus is the ultimate source of help in times of distress. Second, humility before God. When Jesus tested her faith by saying, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs, she did not take offense, but responded with humility. Humility. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. This is show us that true faith acknowledges our unworthiness before God. Who is worthy here? Who is worthy to take the grace of God? No one. No one. Paul said that in Romans. No one. God's mercy is abundant even when we feel undeserving. Three, persistence in prayer. At first, Jesus did not respond to her plea, but she didn't give up. Instead, she kept asking. Her persistence teaches us that we should not be discouraged when God seems silent. Brother, sister, remember Genesis, Abraham, when God asked him to move to another area, he promised him to give him offspring. But how many years he has to wait? 10 years. 10 years, But he has faith that one day he will give him. One day he will respond. But according to his timing, not our timing. Faithful, persistent prayer moves the heart of God. Remember Matthew 7:7. Ask and I will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock, the door will be opened to you. Fourth, faith that transcends barriers or go beyond barriers. Despite being a Gentile, she believed in Jesus, power and authority. Jesus praised her faith, saying, "Woman, you have great faith. You have great faith. Your request is granted." This is reveals that faith in Christ is not limited by race, nationality, or background. It doesn't matter. So believe me, Nahida and I, when we were in Lebanon, many Muslims, when they came to Christ, they become stronger than us. Do you know why? Because they know one day their relatives will kill them. But they know at the same time they are going to be with Jesus. Because for Muslims, if you ask him about, if you die right now, where are you going? He didn't know. He depends on his good deeds. So when Jesus came and he said, "Okay, if you believe me, you will be with me." He believes. Even if next day his parents will kill him for his faith. So this is four keys or four lessons to us today, this morning. So this woman's story encourages us to approach Jesus with love, humility, persistence, and unwavering faith. Brothers and sisters were talking about unwavering faith, something like that, this morning. No matter who we are, when we come to Christ with a sincere heart, he responded with grace and power. So I would like to leave with you today two questions. Would you like to explore how this passage applies to a specific situation in your life? Would you like to explore how this passage applies to a specific situation in your life? Second question, would you like to share your faith boldly and be a winner of souls? So we thank God for Westlock. I heard about, and Pastor Ken shared about his neighbor. So you don't need to go to the Middle East. Do you know today, the percent of Muslims who came to Canada right now? Nobody knows. From all population of Canada right now, 5.6%. 5.6. So that means Canada now 40 million. Yes. Around or almost 2 million. For them, if God gave us years, we'll see after 20 years, 10%. Believe me, 10%. For us as Christian, before the war, Christian in Syria were 10%. Syria were 20 million. We were 2 million. Now in Syria, our population is 2%. 200,000 Christians. killed, and immigration or came to Canada refugee as us. So what happened with our churches? They took it. I heard many stories here, brothers and sisters. I heard they are very proud to take our churches. I heard about a church in Toronto 2 years ago. They take this church and lot of money. Many countries, they just take. And they are very proud. Look, it was church, now mosque. What about us? We don't like to go and to buy something. So the Holy Spirit inside us, please share boldly, proudly, your neighbor, your co-worker, your friend at university. So Muslims around you, we love them. We love them. God created them in His image. We love them. We need to take this good news. Please, my son, when he came and he's working as a personal trainer, and he shared 2 days ago with me, "Oh, Dad, I met with someone from Pakistan, and I shared the gospel." He was very, very glad, very happy, as someone won $1 million. Why? Because he looked to his parents when we shared the gospel with people, and he taught what we share with. He loved any Muslim. He tried to help him. He tried to carry the gospel and share the gospel with him. Please teach your children. We love them. We need them to carry the good news and to share with you about salvation with them. So this is my message, but I would like to share with you some about our ministry as well. So here I put this line. I don't know if you can see this, from Syria to Canada. When I remember, I was sharing with Nahida when we were driving. I said, this is our story, like Abraham or Abraham's story. If you remember how many days it took him from Iraq, Haran, Turkey, then move down to Israel. So many, many years. So many years from Syria, Lebanon, 15 years, and Canada, here, 8 years. So we thank God. When God opened the door to come to Canada, He provided us with His vision, with His plan for us. So here we have... next, please. I don't know. Okay. Our ministry in Edmonton and its suburbs, including a meeting every, or Bible study, and evangelism. So Bible study, we have 2 Bible studies every week, and we have a big gathering to Syrian family who came to Syria since 2016. We thank God for this meeting. So we try to focus on next generation to equip them to go and to share others. So fellowship with our groups in Edmonton and Calgary, we have some people who were equipped them or disabled them, move to Calgary. Third, Lena ministry in Syria. I shared with this sister. She's very, very godly woman. So today here is some pictures. This is our gathering. And this man, he tried to give his grandson the book and to share this guy, his 12 years old, And there's a program like your church for his age. But he said, I want to stay and listen to a Bible study. So he's very, very encouraged. He tried to read it in Arabic and English. So, and this on right hand, which one? Right. This at Carmel Bible the College of Theology. Okay? And yeah, we thank God for Nils. Many times he asked us to come and to share how to reach out to our friends. So this picture with Muslim family who started to visit them, and the oldest, he has many questions. He was with ISIS, and he, when he came to Canada, he said, I didn't know anything about my phenomenon or something, because his brother was killed. He was working with ISIS. But when I met him, I said, look, it doesn't matter. Saul was a killer of a Christian. But when he faced Jesus, he changed his life. And only Jesus, he can change your life. He started reading the gospel. He finished John's gospel. And we thank God. He's willing to listen. Nahid and I, when we visit them, do you know how many hours we spent? 5 hours. Therefore, I have disc in my bag. No, just I'm kidding. So, when we try to finish, they say, no, we have some question. 5 hours. Praise God. When God opens the door, don't hesitate to share your faith. So, and we have here Nahida has a meeting every month with ladies from different churches. So they come together, encourage each other, and pray for Canada, for churches. So the last one with few months ago, a pastor, he invited me to attend and share the youth meeting. I like the youth here. They have vision. They have passion to go and to share the gospel, but they don't have the way how to deal with friends, how to start, from where we start. And our answer always, you have 3 things. Don't depend on me. So we have been ministering among friends 35 years. But you have the Holy Spirit. You have good language. And you have passion. Go and share. You don't have to go to school or just share your faith. You don't need to know about Quran and Hadith and some. Share your heart. And God will lead you. So, next, here, Tony, with our friend in Calgary, we have time for fellowship, and Nahida with the ladies from a church, encourage them and some fellowship activities or something like that. So, we try to do something social, if you have social events and ministry at the same time. So if God opens the door to share, yes, go ahead and share. Next, please. Here, I shared last year with you about our trip to Syria and Lebanon. So this year, we were praying for a long time for our trip. We had short time. This summer, July and August, but we still need the voice of the Holy Spirit. I know it's danger. To be honest with you, It's right yesterday too many people were killed on the street in Damascus just because they are Alawite or Christian. So they can stop anybody, ask him, give me your ID. Oh, Christian, Alawite, pew, shoot him. So I know it's difficult. We are not moving by this news or fear or something, but we still listening, praying, if we can go to this area. So here, Lena, the third part, Lena, Nahida, would you like to share with me something? So this is surprise to him. I try to surprise him. Okay. You can. Okay.
I ask Rasim, don't ask me to share with you because my English is very bad. But it's okay. This is our sister, Lena. She lived in Syria now. She has wonderful ministry among children. She went from house to share gospel with the children. She lived among Orthodox church community. And the priest persecuted her because she shared gospel with the children. Mm. But therefore, I connect with my sister Lena, and I encouraged her to go from house to house to share gospel. And really, God opened the door before her, and Rasim and I, from time to time, we try to support her ministry among these children, and we believe one day this generation will take gospel to others. And please pray for Lena and for her ministry in Syria now. The situation is not good. Now she can't move from her house because the situation is danger. They are many ISIS at the villages everywhere, Christian there. They are afraid to go outside their houses. And please pray for our churches in Syria now. They need wisdom. They need strong faith to face the situation in Syria. And thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much. Nahida, stay here, please. This prayer request, Pastor Ken, would you mind to pray for us, please? Please pray with us if you can take a picture or a screenshot just to pray for us, please.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, thank you so much for your listening, and God bless you.
Right, so this is a list of prayer requests,
yeah.
And we can maybe get that printed off, too, if someone wants it,
yeah.
So you can pray for them.
Yeah, thank
but,
you.
But Rasim sent us a list of prayer items a week ago or so,
yeah,
that were very specific of some of the needs happening in Syria right now, and it's very serious.
Yeah.
So before we dismiss, let's pray for God's blessing and here on this couple, but also for the nation of Syria. Can you stand together? Maybe the worship team can come and they can begin to get ready for our conclusion here. Father God, Lord of heaven and earth, as we've heard, Lord God, in the scriptures, the nation of Syria, the people of Syria, city of Damascus, it's been mentioned, it's been in existence for thousands of years. But here we are, Lord, right now, 2025. And Lord, what's happening in that country is so brutal, so fearful. And yet, Lord, we've got to believe that you're in control. And that, Lord, all of these events are moving towards end times, Lord, prophecy, fulfillment of Scripture, and ultimately the return of Jesus Christ. But Father God, right now, we pour our hearts out to you and we ask, O Lord, for your mercy, Lord, on Christians, believers, Lord God, and people who are being persecuted in the country of Syria. Men and women, boys and girls, afraid even to leave their houses for fear of being stopped on the streets, Lord God, and harmed or even killed. Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, you will pour your Spirit out. Encourage these folks. Help them, Lord God, these brothers and sisters, help them, Lord God, stay strong in you. Lord, not in fear, but in encouragement and strength. And I pray, Lord, that the reality of the gospel where Paul said to live is Christ, to die is gain, would, Lord, continue to, Lord, be real in their hearts. Father, we pray that the gospel would go forth in Syria, that amongst Muslim people who are also afraid, that, Lord, they would open their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the gift of life eternal in Christ Jesus. Father God, Rasim and Nahida have really challenged us again this morning about the reality of Islam growing in Canada. Lord, with immigrants and with population changes, people becoming Muslims. Father God, I pray that you will encourage and challenge us to, Lord, not be afraid to share the truth of the love of Jesus, the hope of eternal life we have in Christ, the truth of following the Lord. Lord, I pray that you will bless this couple and the many networks and people that they reach out to. Father God, that you will multiply their ministry, let it be fruitful, and that, Lord, you will bring many to Christ. And as Rasim has asked for prayer, they're trying to decide what to do this summer. What do they do? Lord, show them and lead them. Lord, perhaps even like you did with Paul and his team when they came to Troas, not sure which way to turn. And Lord, you spoke to them and directed them. Lord, come to Macedonia. I pray, Jesus, that you will, Lord, give Rasim and Nahida that assurance of your direction for their lives. Lord, in your precious name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you so much.
The team's going to come and conclude in the song. I hear the children coming downstairs, so if you need to be dismissed,